Chapter 8, Nome, 1924. The year was 1924, and it was late summer in Nome, Alaska. Located just a few miles south of the Arctic Circle, Nome was a tiny town overlooking the Bering Sea, barely a wisp of civilization left over from the mad dash for gold that Alaska had experienced years earlier. Locals would let new arrivals know there were actually only two seasons in Nome: winter, and the 4th of July. While summer did exist, it was just a precious month or so long and offered those who lived there a chance to restock their vital supplies. Any other time of year, the Bering Sea was frozen solid, isolating those within the town behind hundreds of miles of desolate ice and snow. Locals worked feverishly to unload the last supply ship of the season, storing away eggs in vats of brine or precious turkey carcasses, as many of its summer residents were boarding the last lighters that would run out a mile into the deeper waters of the Norton Sound, where the Alameda, a supply ship, was waiting to depart. The bitter cold of winter was creeping its way down from the north, and the tossing waves of the Bering Sea were already muted as an icy slush began to form. The Alameda let her whistle blow, a forbidding declaration she would be leaving soon. The ship could not risk becoming mired in the frosty grip of an Alaskan winter and offered residents the last opportunity of the year to escape the barren outpost. On shore, preparations for winter were undertaken with the somber labor of approaching war. Supplies were moved into warehouses, siding was shored up against what would be murderous winds, and the Moon Springs Water Company shut down and drained the only two pipes that supplied fresh water. Anything that could be transferred away from the coastline was moved, as the buildup pressure of frozen seawater would occasionally break free and violently heave huge chunks of ice 50 feet onto the shore, destroying everything in their path. Outside of the 4th of July, Nome was a brutal environment that could test the grit of the hardiest souls. For Curtis Welch, nothing else felt like home. He had moved there in 1907 and found the solitude and wide-open expanse to his liking. Unlike many of the 3,000 permanent residents of Nome, he preferred the winter. Regardless, his presence was appreciated by all. He was the only doctor for 1,000 miles around, and the town had come to rely on him and the tiny hospital he ran for help when it was needed. That winter, help would be needed, but Welch would be ill-equipped to respond. Just after the last strains of the Alameda's whistle could be heard blowing in the distance, an Eskimo family arrived in Nome, one of their four children very sick. Their youngest, a 2-year-old, was not eating and was clearly emaciated. Welch noted the child's foul-smelling breath and became concerned. In Holy Cross, the town they had just departed from, the parents were told it was just tonsillitis, a diagnosis for which the child had already received some treatment. Welch's anxiety lessened as he examined the other siblings, their throats and tongues apparently healthy. He had been practicing medicine in Alaska for 18 years, and although he was certainly familiar with it, had never encountered diphtheria himself. The dreaded illness was extremely contagious, and it was unlikely the child's three siblings could have made the long journey from Holy Cross without an infection. However, the next morning brought foreboding news to Welch and all those who had chosen to remain in Nome for the winter. The child had died, and it was clear he did not have tonsillitis, but something far more dangerous. The likely culprit, diphtheria. As the full force of winter approached and locked the residents of Nome in ice, Welch may have felt they were protected from any additional microbial assault from the outside world. The child's siblings had avoided any complications, and Christmas brought the residents some much-needed cheer. However, just a few days later, a disturbing message reached the doctor. Another child, a young girl he had treated for tonsillitis just days before Christmas, had died. She was 7 years old, and her mother refused his desire to perform an autopsy. It would have been quick, he just needed to take a look at her throat. January brought two more deaths, and due to local custom, Welch was again prevented from examining the children's bodies. On the 20th, the doctor paid a visit to a 3-year-old boy he had treated a few weeks earlier. This time, there was no mistaking the white, leathery patches that covered the boy's tongue and throat. Back at his office, Welch sank into his chair as the gravity of the situation struck. He had a precious few doses of diphtheria antitoxin, but the vials had expired years earlier. It was widely known the antitoxin did not have a long shelf life, and given the boy's poor condition and the risk of serum sickness, the doctor opted to burn the patches off with iron chloride. The child improved initially, but then began to deteriorate, and by the next day suffered a grisly suffocation. Welch needed no autopsy. It was clear from the manner of death that the boy had died from diphtheria, a cause most likely responsible for the other children as well. With children cooped up inside the homes and igloos of northern Alaska, Welch began to fear the worst. A sneeze, cough, or shared utensil could be enough to take out an entire family's children. Even more concerning to him was the pitiful supply of antitoxin he had. 6 full doses that were 6 years old, most likely too deteriorated to even work. A replacement shipment Welch had ordered earlier that summer had never turned up, their absence a specter which would begin to haunt everyone within miles of the frozen port. After holding an emergency meeting with the town's council members, Welch raced to the Signal Corps and fired off a telegram in hopes it would reach the U.S. Public Health Service. Nome, Alaska, January 22, 1925. An epidemic of diphtheria is almost inevitable here. Stop. I am in urgent need of 1 million units of diphtheria antitoxin. Stop. Mail is the only form of transportation. Stop. I have made application to Commissioner of Health of the Territories for antitoxin already. Stop. There are about 3,000 white natives in the district. The tiny town of Nome, Alaska, had never been heard of by most Americans in 1925. And although many knew of the ravages of diphtheria, most of their children had never received a diphtheria shot. All of that was about to change.